this thing is too close, let me know. Well, for our Bible study for the next 2 months, we're going to be looking at major events in the Bible that shaped the world as we know it. And the event that we're going to talk about today still comes out of the first three or four chapters of Genesis. We're going to be talking about the sin of Adam and Eve. When I was a child growing up, we got to go to my grandma's on my mom's side of the family. We got to go there, maybe once every couple of years or something. But one of the things I remember so much about going to grandma's house, she had these old-time pictures that she had on the wall of ancestors gone by. I can still see some of those faces, and the men, of course, they all look different than the way we dressed, and the men all had long beards and mustaches, and they dressed differently than we did. The women, they had, the dresses were all long, they had long sleeves, and they kind of, their hair was fixed different than maybe the way I was used to seeing women with their hair. But I bring this up for the simple reason that it's interesting thinking about our ancestors, isn't it? And did you ever really give much thought to your oldest grandparents? Your great, 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 I don't know how many greats it would be, but when I say your older grandparents, I'm talking about Adam and Eve. Did Adam have a tall, slender build? Was he stocky and short? What color was his hair? What color was his eyes? And what color was his skin? And what about Eve? Did Eve, did she have long, flowing, straight hair? Was it red? Was it black? Was it brown? Maybe she was a blonde. I don't know. Maybe her hair was not long and straight at all. Maybe it was kinky. Okay. Maybe it was curly or wavy. Was her body style the shape of a pear, an hourglass? Was she a strong, rugged type or more fragile and petite? What language did they speak? Will they be in heaven? On and on you could go with all kinds of ponderings about your most distant grandparents. The few things the inspired word gives us are the only really important things we need to know. We could think about all these things all day, but it really wouldn't do us a whole lot of good, I don't think. But they're interesting things to think about. But in a nutshell, what do we know about Adam and Eve? Okay, and I want you to. I've got a list here, and I'm going to kind of look at the list. But I just want you to kind of tell me what you know about Adam and Eve. What kinds of things do you know about them?
They were created in maturity, so they weren't babies.
Created in maturity. Okay, they weren't babies. All right, very good.
They were made in God's image.
They were made in God's image. Okay, and we don't have time to discuss that, what exactly all that entails, other than we know that it tells us that we were made in His image. Okay?
They had exactly the same lust, desire.
They have exactly the same lust and desires and things that we have. Okay? That hasn't changed.
Had three sons.
Had three sons. Okay. Have any daughters?
I think they had a lot more than three sons.
Okay. Okay, we know that they had, we know for sure they had three sons, but we also know they had daughters. It actually comes right out and tells us that they had daughters. Okay, obviously they had to have daughters, didn't they?
I was just going to say on the physical side, they lived in extreme, at least Adam lived not over 900 years, so their physical bodies were made by God in a way that we have no clue. I mean, they were so strong as far as resistant to disease and injuries and all those things to live that long.
Okay, and
we
that
struggle to live 70 or 80 years.
Right, and we can look back in not too distant past, and the average lifespan of a human being was a lot less than it is right now.
And that's without medicine, surgery, and all those things.
Right, right, okay. What other kinds of things can you think of?
They lived in the Garden of Eden.
They lived in a very special place that God prepared for them, right? Okay. Anything else?
Were they vegetarians?
Yes, they were. you kind of like, well, it tells us that they were. God gave them plants, herbs of the field, seed-bearing plants to feed them and also to feed the animals. All right, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on here. That's a pretty important aspect about this whole thing that we're going to talk about.
And they were naked.
They were naked. Okay, they didn't have any need for clothing. Okay, obviously, in the conditions that we have this morning, you might have a little problem with that, wouldn't you?
So how long did that last along that line there? That must not have lasted very long, because did they live through a winter without any clothes?
We don't know.
Because there's winter where the Garden of Eden was.
Well, I don't know. Are you sure there was winter in the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
How can you prove that?
Well, just because of the latitude and the longitude of the earth. I mean, it may not be quite as, I think it's a little further south than here, but
there was lots of things. I think as we study this, there were lots of things different during the time period before the flood than after the flood.
But the okay. Seasons are the same.
Well, I'm not going to say that.
Well, what about the verse that talks about seed time, harvest?
Well, when did that happen? That happened after the flood, I think. Okay, so I'm not prepared to say that their climate was the same as ours.
I kind of think they fell really quick. I don't know why I got that opinion.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's lots of things to ponder, you know, and you think, you know, how long? Well, we know that several of the ancestors, this is something I've thought about, several of the ancestors after them didn't have their first child till they were like 100 and some years old. So I, you know, it makes me wonder, did Adam and Eve live together for several years before all this happened? I don't know. I don't really have an answer to that. But you've mentioned several things about them that we know. They were created on what day? You know that, don't you? They were created on the sixth day. Okay. God breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. It's already mentioned that they were planted in the garden, and that was considered eastward in the Garden of Eden. And what was their specific job? Did they have a specific job as far as that garden? Was they just to kind of lay back and enjoy, or did they have a specific job? What?
They were to tend the garden.
Yes, they were to dress and keep it. Okay? And now, was Adam and Eve simultaneously created by God? And the answer is no to that. We know that that God gave Adam this helper, helpmeet, as the scripture says, to help him. And he took a rib from Adam and he created the woman. And did God name the woman? Who named the woman?
Adam.
Adam named the woman. Adam named her woman. Okay? And he also gave her another name. What was the other name?
Mother of all living.
Well, that's what Eve means, mother of all living. So he named her Eve, which translates out Eve, because she was the mother of all living. No, the scripture about women is in Genesis 2:21 through 23,
And Adam called her woman. I believe I got that right. Okay. But then later on, he also said because she was the mother of all living, he called her Eve. Okay. What kinds of instructions were they given as far as this man and this woman, this husband and wife, what kinds of instructions were they given?
Well, they could eat of everything in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Okay. Well, everything except animals. But, yes. In other words, all the plant, the seed-bearing plants were produced for the animals and mankind to eat.
Well,
okay, but they were not to eat.
It's interesting that you say that because I don't think it says anywhere you can't eat the animals, even though we know that they didn't eat animals until after the flood.
Well, it tells them what they were to eat. Let me see if I give you the specific scripture on that.
Well, 2:16 says every tree in the garden you may eat except for one.
Okay, but then where's the scripture about the herbs? I've got that here somewhere. Let's see. it's in verse 29 and 30, chapter 1. Every seed-bearing plant and tree with seed-bearing fruit were given to them, as well as the animals for food. In other words, as well as the animals to eat, also is what I mean. That's in Genesis. Read that. If you're there, Mike, read that for us.
Which verse?
Chapter 1, verse 29 and 30.
And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you it shall be for food, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food," and it was so.
Okay, so I take it that that's what they were to eat. Okay, I don't think there's any indication at all that animals were killed at all until afterwards, when God had to provide them clothing for their nakedness. The two of them were both naked, as already mentioned. Mike already mentioned they had explicit instructions about these two trees. And why were they not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
They would die.
Yes. It says if you eat it, you'll die. There's going to be some... You know, this is a thought I had. I don't know if you ever thought of this, but I'm thinking up to this point, I don't know that... Of course, you already mentioned that God created them mature. So, you know, I thought to myself, well, how would they even know what death is? But if God created them mature, I'm sure they understood what death was. What about Eve? Was she deceived? Yes, she was. And who was she deceived by? Okay, she was deceived by a serpent. Thank you, Larry. And that serpent had a... more of ability than any of the other animals, didn't it? What kind of ability did the serpent have that other animals didn't have, as far as we know?
It was Satan in the form of an animal.
Yeah, I guess we could say that. I took it that it was an animal and Satan took him over.
Well, it could be, but I'm saying it was Satan in the form
of the serpent, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And it had the ability to talk. Okay, and it convinced Eve that, persuaded Eve to partake of the forbidden fruit. And what was the main reason that Eve kind of, would you say, latched on to his encouragement? What was it about what Satan said that encouraged her?
He said, "You will be like God."
Yes, that you'll be like God. Okay, in other words, you could... Go ahead.
It was three things, actually.
Yeah.
She looked at it and looked so good.
Looked good.
Then she wanted to eat it, and then it was going to make her wise.
Okay.
And also, he told her that she would not die.
Yeah, you shall surely not die. Okay, and that was probably the only out-and-out thing that he really lied about. Everything else had a little bit of truth, really, to it. It was good to look at. God placed these two beautiful trees, really, as a centerpiece in the center of the garden. I think those two trees were to represent death and life.
And I think, Bob, just to bring that down and make a lesson for us today, is that Satan is still doing that. He's using things that are very good.
Exactly.
He gets us to use them in the wrong way.
Yeah. His tactics have not changed whatsoever. Whatsoever. Well, the results of all this, all these things, introduced sin into the picture, and death became a reality. Okay. When we started this study, I asked if you had a plausible answer to these questions: where did I come from? Why am I here, and where am I going? Okay. I'd like to try to answer why I am here. Okay. And we see several reasons why we're here when he instructed Adam and Eve, don't we? First of all, I think it was mentioned that God created man in his own image. God wants us to reflect that image wherever we go. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And of course, we could use all kinds of, since this is just a one-time deal, I don't have time to go into all that, but there's lots of scriptures we could look at that tells us that God wants us to reflect his image. Okay? He also wants us to rule over our creation. That was a specific assignment that he gave them. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. If you turn to Psalms 8, 3 through 9, is when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? I mean, you think about all these unbelievable, fantastic things, and then why are you mindful of us wee little creatures? Well, he's mindful of us because he wants us to have dominion over the works of his hands. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, every beast of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, that pass through the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That was Psalms 8, verse 3 through 9. All right? So he wants us to reflect his image. He wants us to rule over creation. He wants us to produce godly offspring. Now, does that mean that everybody has to be married and have children? No, it doesn't mean that. I mean, if you're not married, can you still produce godly offspring? Okay, in a sense you can. In other words, you influence all kinds of people around you. And you can influence anyone to be godly and to be an offspring of God. Okay? All right, but in Genesis 1:28, he says, "Be fruitful and multiply." Okay? Replenish the earth, Malachi 2:15. In that particular passage, you know, where he's talking about God hates divorce, and then he says, I want godly offspring. Okay, that's what he was expecting. Okay, Ezekiel 16:20, you could turn there and also find this same principle. So, you've heard me say probably more times than five, several times, and this is something always that I keep in my head, is I say, why did God create me? Why am I here? And I always say, to bring him pleasure. And the reason I say that is, if we look at all these things that he told Adam and Eve to do, okay, and then we think about Revelation 4:11, he says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So I think we could lump all this together in a nutshell. In a very general way, we were created to give God pleasure.
And I think another thing, off. But, you know, we are made in the image of God, so we're a lot like God.
Right.
And so, you know, you think about, do you ever set or go about creating something, or I mean making something, putting something together, whether it's a wood project, a sewing project, or
food, or
without thinking, you know, this is going to be good. It's going to produce pleasure. It's going to. So I think God expected us to bring Him pleasure, like you said. And
in so doing, it brings us pleasure too, doesn't it? Okay. Anybody else want to make mention? Romans 11, 33 through 36 is, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways, past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." All right. Any comments on that part? I mentioned a while ago that in the middle of the Garden of Eden, there was placed two beautiful trees. And I'm sure you have pondered about those and thought about that. Just exactly why was that? And I ran across an idea and I thought it sounded pretty good. Two beautiful trees to highlight life and death. Okay. A centerpiece, if you will, of the choices God offers mankind. God wants us to choose life, doesn't He? And we could turn to lots of scriptures. It says, choose life. I'm the Word. I give you life. Choose life. But He has these two trees, and both of them represent life and death. In God's endeavor to wreak pleasure for Himself, He made man a little lower than the angels and gave him intelligence to think and reason on his own to determine what is right and wrong. Many would refer to this as a free moral agent. I'm sure you heard that term. I used to hear that and I think, I don't get that. Free moral agent. Well, so I decided to just tell you it's the ability to determine what is right or wrong. Okay? Anybody else want to explain free moral agent? Do you have a different way of explaining that? When God explicitly told Adam he would die if he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we understand that God is leaving the door open for him to either receive pleasure or disappointment. Do you think God found pleasure when Adam took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? When Adam decided to disobey what he told him, did God get any pleasure out of that? No, he did not. Well, God could have made us to just be, for lack of a better term, we could be kind of like robots. And he could have made us just partake of everything that was good and do everything just right. But that doesn't give God pleasure. I think what gives God pleasure is you choosing to do His will. And that's why He created us that way. Since God is all-knowing, He created a plan to rescue His people from eternal death even before they were created. And you say, well, why would He do that? I think He did that because He knew exactly the choices Adam would make. Adam and Eve. He knew that. And so He set in order a plan before the beginning of time. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." So He had this plan before the foundation of the world. A plan that would rescue us from our death. because we decided to sin. Now, obviously, we understand that Eve was deceived by Satan, who used the talking serpent to convince her she could be like God if she chose to eat the fruit, the forbidden tree. Obviously, the reason I chose this story as a major event that shaped the world, I say obviously, it's obvious to us. As a disciple of Christ, it's obvious to us, but I'm not so sure it's obvious to the people that aren't followers of Christ. How many billions of people in the world would not consider this story as any major thing at all? But to a Christian, it's one of the most major events that we read about in the Holy Scripture. Romans 5:12 says, and this is the reason it's a major event. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, did Adam and Eve immediately die? God said, you shall die if you eat of this tree. Did they immediately die? What would you say to that?
Not physically.
Okay. What do you mean, Dwayne, not physically?
I mean, because they...
Are you qualifying that statement? Did they immediately die?
Yeah, immediately. They didn't die immediately because Adam lived to be 900 and some years old. So
okay.
So they didn't die physically, but they did spiritually.
Okay. So my answer to that question was, well, yes and no. And just, I was thinking the same way Dwayne was. They spiritually died when they were separated from God and they expelled from the Garden of Eden. Okay? Their physical bodies began to deteriorate, just like ours. You start out as a baby and you're actually growing cells, but then you get to a certain point in your life and then you start to die. Okay? Like Mike said, we might live to 100, some a little bit over that. The average life expectancy now in America, anyway, somewhere around 78 or something like that, 70 something.
So that's to say that before they did this, their body was not aging, right? They would have lived into eternity.
Well, they had the tree of life. They could eat the tree of life.
As long as they ate it, it was
continuing
to live.
And you know, and we know that they could eat of the tree of life. Now, would they have had to eat of the tree of life? In other words, would that, they had all kinds of trees to eat from. Okay.
Well, why was it there if that didn't sustain the life eternally?
Yeah.
I guess is my question.
Yeah, and it's a good question. It's a good question, but... And I don't think we have an answer. I don't think we have an answer to it, but we do know that that tree symbolized life. Okay? And whether they had to actually eat of that every month, you know, did they have to eat so much fruit of it every month, every week, every day, or did they not have to eat of it all? I don't know. We don't have those answers. But we do know what it represented. Okay?
It was the other choice, wasn't it? They had two trees.
Well, they had lots of trees to eat from, but
the one meant death and one meant life.
Yes, I'm kind of like, and maybe the rest of you are too, that I don't think they would have died if they hadn't have disobeyed the Lord. Okay, as Mike mentioned, he lived 930 years. And it doesn't record Eve's age of her death. That's found in Genesis 5 and 5. And so I asked this question, could they have lived forever? And we kind of discussed that already. Because of sin, all three participants of the first sin received consequences for their action. Okay? Somebody tell me what happened to the serpent. What was his consequences?
He lost his legs.
He lost his ability to walk, didn't he? Stand upright, or whatever we want to say it. He had to crawl on the ground the rest of his life. And it more or less says he ate dust. I don't know if it means they literally ate the dirt, but you're going to get some dust when you're crawling around the ground like the serpent does, okay? What about anything else about the serpent that was going to be a problem besides eating dust?
Well,
Yeah, what does that mean, Dwayne? He's going to be cursed. What do you think it means?
It's a curse. I don't know. That sounds bad to me.
He's despised by, naturally despised by humans, probably more than any animal.
Yeah, and especially by women. I think if you took a survey of women, there would be more women that are afraid and despised of snakes than maybe men. Okay, but in general, just like Mike said, hey, there's plenty of us that don't want to pick up a snake and touch it. Okay, and there's some women that would handle snakes and men, but in general, okay, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. What does that mean? What do you think that means? What's your thought about that?
Well, there's several different ways you could look at it. One is a spiritual way, where the woman would be the church, and the serpent, of course, is Satan and evil. That would be one way of looking at it.
Okay. And through her seed, we get all the way to Jesus. And Jesus is the one that saves us from our sins. Okay. And what about bruise him on the heel? Okay. And you shall bruise him on the heel. What do you...
Sin has an effect on humans and has an effect on the church, but ultimately God prevails, and ultimately Christ in the church will crush sin.
Okay. And then if you take it in a little bit more physical sense, how many snakes do you think's been stomped to death? You know, so I could see a physical picture there too. Okay. What about the punishment for Eve?
Pain in childbirth.
What's that?
Pain in childbirth.
I think we should say, to be more accurate, we should say your pain will be greater. Okay. I don't think that women were to have children without pain, but it says, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and in pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That last statement, we don't have time to discuss. That's another class in itself, okay? But she definitely received consequences. Okay, and what happened to Adam? Okay.
Before, they hadn't been given to him. Even though he took care of the garden, I don't think he had to plant anything.
And now it looks like you're going to have thorns and thistles. You're going to have the weeds and issues maybe they didn't have before.
And that's about the best way to say it, Dwayne, is you're going to have a lot more issues when it comes to providing food for yourself. And Karen, I think you got something there that maybe he didn't even have to plant. Maybe it was just there and he just had to pick it to eat it, you know. Okay, it's just supposed to tend it. Okay, and it says, so the ground's going to be cursed, and it's going to bring a lot of toil all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plant of the field by the sweat of your face. You will eat bread till you return to the ground. So there's the other part. That's the part that we talk about death, is that this body is not going to live forever, and it's going to turn back to the dust of the ground from which you came out of. All right? Now, beside the spiritual death, we're running out of time, and I don't know that... I can see that I'm not going to be able to get all through the information I want, and that's okay. But our goal was to try to cover one of these per session. If we don't, that's okay. You're talking about what? Adam's?
On this lesson today.
Oh, well, let me finish, so I'm not done yet. We still got time. Beside the spiritual and physical death of mankind, what other kinds of death occur? Because this is kind of getting the issue that Mike brought up, or we discussed there with Mike earlier. Besides the spiritual and physical death of mankind, what other kinds of death occurred? What? The death of animals. Okay, we have to, and maybe it's too much of an assumption, but it sure seems like we can assume that God had to kill some animals to clothe them with their skins. Okay? And this appears to be the first animal sacrifice to help atone for sin and shame. Would you agree with that or disagree with that? Now, the question is, was there death in the world before sin? Yeah, talking about animals.
It depends on how long. I think it depends on how long it took before sin occurred.
Well,
of course, if there had been no death, the world would have been overrun with animals and people and all of that. But you know, but God knew what was.
Yeah, we're talking about. Yeah, we're talking about before sin. Was there death? That's the question. And the reason I ask that question, and I don't know if any of you've ever read some of Ken Ham's work. And I'm not saying that everything Ken Ham writes is dead on, but he wrote something that I read that I'd like to share with you. Adam and Eve and all the animals were instructed to eat only plants, we already brought that out, and fruits before the fall. Now, if you believe in the evolutionary theory, you absolutely think that there was death before sin. Because they talk about all these little things that happened millions of years ago that started out as little whatever and kept developing, and this would die and produce this, this, and this. So if you think that if you believe in the evolutionary theory, you're going to say yes, there was death before sin. Well, so let's just kind of look at the facts that we've kind of uncovered, that the animals and people were only to eat plants. Now, somebody's going to say, well, plants had to die. Okay, and here's what Ken Ham says today. He says, there is a theological distinction between plants and animals. Plants are not alive in the sense that animals are. Plants were given for food for the animals. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. All right, so that was the sacrifice that we talked about. A covering because of Adam and Eve's sin evidently caused God to slay some animals. Okay, so he had to shed their blood in order to get their skins. We know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. God requires the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. It was because of sin that death was to occur. Okay, and we're out of time, and I will go into the rest of this article with you, but I think it's pertinent for the especially when we talked about creation last week, and a lot of this stuff that he has to say here has to do with creation and about the idea of whether or not there was death before sin. Dwayne, you asked me to sum up what all this that we've talked about.
Yeah. What's application for today?
Okay.